Blog Talk Radio.
Guys, live from Revolutionary Gospel News. This is Arthur Joseph Smith, the writer of the Revival of the Roman Empire, the Devil Workshop, History of the Church, and Rise of the Cult to Glassford being the Caliphate, Rise of the Islamic Nation in the Temple Mount. I'd like to thank you guys for coming out tonight. I'll be talking to you guys about this great delusion. And we're talking about what's happening in the church as well as the news, the newfound condition of America that we especially are fading into. And I've been watching a lot of stuff that's going on and looking at the new rise of this new world order as America is fading to the background of the scene. And so that's what the show's about tonight, about this great delusion that they have running on and how they are captivating the people's attention while impending disaster is on its way for this nation as a whole. And many are going to be caught off guard because they're not watching our economic system nor paying attention to what's really going on. And they're not warning you out there about what's happening. They like it like they have it. You know, in ignorance, they hold their power. And so that's what's going on out there. And so many are not aware of our condition. And a lot of people you talk to today, they tell you, why does it matter? Well, what you don't think is important is going to affect your life. You know, that's the whole thing about America being dumbed down. They worked on this generation. This is the most naive generation I have seen. Of course, I haven't been in all the generations, but as my age group, we were a little bit aware of what was going on. Nowadays, the average youngster don't even know who won the Civil War, which is a shame. You know, you ask who the president is. These are people on college campuses. They don't know geographical locations. They're not aware of anything that is going on in their world, and it's going to have an effect on them. And so looking at the church we look at today has become a circus. You know, I look at these people, they talk about these praise dancers, praise teams. And what you have up there is these people making mockery. You know, they have no respect of God today. That's really the problem. You know, they take God as he's common, you know, something not to be taken serious, you know, or the creator not to be taken serious. And they make light of him. I was looking at that today, even in my own personal walk with God, that I realized the seriousness, you know, where's the reverence when you approach God? You approach him as a common the creator, you know, a common being on this planet. We don't seem to pay attention to we're dealing with the very creator of our world, the one who possesses and holds your life in his hand. We really don't pay attention to that. You know, people go to church today and there's really no difference. It's like it's really like you're going into a club atmosphere. You know, you go in there and they got these little praise dance girls shaking their booties. They have their little hot mama skirts on, but they're supposed to be in the house of God. Where is the reverence for God at today? You know, that's what I ask. Where is it at? And the Bible let us know, therefore, there was a time he talks about in the Bible is a book that is written in a metaphor. It's not something that is written for everybody just to simply pick it up, glance at it, and understand it. You know, I see people all the time try to make the Bible, rewrite these Bibles, these new versions, you know, because I'm a 1611 person. And I know that this Bible is something that cannot be understood unless you have the right ingredients, if you follow the actual Word of God. If not, it is a closed book to your eyes. We can start off in Scripture so far as Matthew 13, starting at verse 10. Matthew 13 and 10. It says, "And the disciples came and said unto him, Why speakest thou unto them in a parable, in a metaphor? Why are you talking to these people in a metaphor, in a symbolic sense? He answered and said unto them, Because it is given unto you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them is not given." In other words, the mysteries, that which is closed from the human eye, something that is hidden. But notice he said the mysteries of the kingdom of God, and I know I use the word church. People don't realize church was added into the Bible. In other words, people say, what you mean is added? Because what Christ initially was speaking, he spoke about his kingdom. But he said it's not given unto them to know. He said he speaks to them because it's not given to them to know the mysteries of the kingdom of God. And it's a very thing that most people don't realize, that they don't follow process of procedure. Now, I seem like I'm a little jumping here, but let me back it up to what he was talking about. When he initially came here, you know, you hear the word church, and the word church is taken from a word kakusku. You cannot, the original word was ekklesia. Ekklesia cannot be translated into church. You know, you got to remember this. There's a lot of these changes and these extra polis, because the Bible talks about extra polis and let you know in the last chapter, if any man add or subtract, what was the consequences? And that's in the last chapter of your Bible. So you have what is called extra polis, and they have taken words out to distort the meaning. So when you look at the word that comes from kakusku, that's the only word you can use to translate into church, and it means Lord or ruler's house. See, if you look back to the time of Constantine, you got to understand there was great turmoil, great confusion going on. And so, you know, if you were speaking about a kingdom, then there was a problem because, you know, you're dealing with these emperors or Caesar, Augustus, and all these guys, you know, they're rulers, so they was contrary to their government. And the people were being put in those arenas and them coliseums and blood sports, you know, for spectator, lions eating people, to believers, those who had converted and were called Christians, because I'm not going to get into the conversion of Christians, but chapter 11 is where they first Christians come along, and they're apostolized into our faith, into the Jew faith, the apostles' faith, which is called also apostolic. That is almost another show in itself, and I don't spend too much time trying to explain that, but you start off in Acts 2. And that was to the Jews. That was the salvation plan given to the Jews. That same salvation plan was given to what is called the Christians in Acts 10, when Cornelius the Italian came into our faith. Okay? But we're looking at the word, when I was talking about just the word, how it had been translated out. So you get the word ecclesia, that means called out once. Called out to be a kingdom. It first came in the spiritual form. A lot of people don't know that. They ask, where is the coming, the promise of the Father, you know, everything is continued on as it is today. But they do not realize the first part of his kingdom gave birth was spiritual. And now we're looking for the physical arrival of his kingdom, the conclusion of all of this madness we're seeing today as this great delusion goes on in America, and America dumbing down the citizens and trying to keep you unaware of their coming demise. Here it is in chapter 17, and in the chapter 17 of Luke, verse 20, it says, "When he was demanded of the Pharisees when the kingdom of God should come, he answered them and said," notice he didn't say when shall his church come, he says the kingdom of God. See, the kingdom of God cometh not with observance. Okay, "neither shall they say, lo here or lo there. For behold, the kingdom of God is within you." So we find out if it's within you, it has to have to do with what we know as the born-again experience. But let's look, and I'm going to get to that, but let's look at what is Matthew's 9 and show you the difference when a person has the Holy Ghost when they've been anointed, how you can get past some of these things that have been done to try to hide the truth from us. Look what he said. Okay, and they said, in the Pharisee, and this is verse 34, and the Pharisees said, he cast out devils, because Jesus was out there casting out devils, and we'll go back up to 32, and said, and as they went out, behold, they brought to him a dumb man, possessed with a devil, dumb, ignorant. So you can see that the devil dwells in ignorance. That's what is going on. That's why our nation is being dumbed down. See, his power is in ignorance. It's not in the knowledge, in light. You know, light is knowledge, knowledge of God, what is really going on in your world. Okay, when the devil was cast out, the dumb spake, and the multitude marveled, saying, it was never so seen in Israel. But the Pharisees said, he cast out devils through the prince of devils. And Jesus went about all the city and village. Notice something. Teaching, which people say preaching, is the same thing as, you know, a lot of people like their juice. That's what I call it. That, well, the Lord said, and everybody's jumping up and never understands what he said. But the real word, that's that juice. But real teaching, what does the real thing look like? It is teaching to enlighten the mind. As he said, teaching in the synagogues and preaching. You know, now he wasn't screaming, hollering. The gospel of the kingdom. You see what I'm saying? The kingdom. He wasn't talking about some church. He was talking about the coming kingdom of God. And so we have been dumbed down to the facts of these things. You know, even in religion, when you go in the church, the Bible lets you know that judgment should begin at the house of the Lord. So eventually, you know, it started at our doors. That great defection you see, because that was judgment. You got to see, he said, if they was with us, they would have remained with us. So they went out that they might be manifested, and they were not all parts. So you're seeing all this stuff now. You're seeing the signs of the end before your face. You know, because he tells us about an end that was coming. And in that end, how you know the end was going to come, because they asked him about the coming. You know, when would the end be? And he's, we can start in Matthew 24, and it looks at, he said, and he sat up on the Mount of Olives, and the disciples came unto him privately, saying, tell us, when shall these things be, and what shall be the signs of thy coming? When was he going to return after he has left? In the end of the world, the end of this age. And Jesus answered and said unto them, take heed, pay close attention, that no man deceive you, mislead you. For many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many. Look around you. That prophecy has already been fulfilled. You got Baptist, Catholic, Methodist, Presbyterian, Jehovah Witness, Mormon, all over the city. You go through certain places, like I'm in the South. There's about a church on every block. But which one of them is preaching the true message of the kingdom of God? You find that to be what is absent in these churches, okay? Because you look at John 3:3, and they don't preach or teach what Jesus was talking about. They don't even remotely go to what Jesus was talking about. You look at in the Gospel of John 3:5, like I was saying, the kingdom should be within you. The Gospel of John 3, chapter 3, and verse 5. Jesus answered and said, verily, verily, I say to thee, except a man be born of water and of spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. Notice, he didn't say church. You cannot enter into his kingdom. And he said that, and then he goes on to say, and that was verse 5. Let's go back up in 3:3 in the Gospel of John. It says, Jesus answered and said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Like he said, it'd be the mysteries of the kingdom. You can't see it. You can't understand what's going on if you've never been born again. If you have not been born of water and spirit, he lets you know you can't enter the kingdom of God. He lets you know in verse 3, if you ain't never been born again, then you have no parts with this. You know, you, a lot of people run around and they go to these churches and they feel good, they quote scriptures, but have never been born again. That is the church. You know, that's what's going on in the church today. And people are not understanding what true teaching is. They thinking anointing is them hollering and hoopering and speaking in an ecstatic tongue that started at the Tower of Babel, started with Nimrod, one of the first world rulers that we ever had, that ever dominated all the world in chapter 10 and 11. He was the first man to ever dominate the world, black man at that. And they know that. They don't like Nimrod, but Nimrod was a negative too. He was the son of Cush, you know, a Hamite. And not all the Hamites, they tell a lie about, you know, they first, I'm in the South, they use this for slavery, talking about Ham was cursed, but he had four sons, and the only son that was cursed was Canaan. I'm not even going to venture off into that too much farther. But let's look at it. It says, for the kingdom of God came without observance, okay, and it should be within you. Now look at Acts 2. And it says, Acts 2 said, when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind. And it filled all the house where they were sitting. Nobody was paying attention. It came and they were one accord. They probably were in prayer and probably discussing scripture. But it came and boom. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as of fire. And they set upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost. They were filled. The kingdom of God has given birth on the day of Pentecost. And they began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. And they were dwelling at Jerusalem. It started in Jerusalem, not Rome, where you see all these other religions come out of, the Baptist, the Presbyterian, the Methodist, the Reformed movement. All that is out of Rome. None of that is from Jerusalem. Here is where the true faith, the true kingdom of God has given birth. And they were dwelling at Jerusalem, devout men out of every nation under heaven. Now, when this was noise abroad, their multitudes came together and were confounded because that every man heard them speaking in his own language. It wasn't an ecstatic. They heard them speaking. He had given them, the Holy Ghost had given them the ability to speak in their language, in a heavenly language, where every man standing there heard them and understood what they were saying. That was what brought conviction. Okay? And so you find out, they go on a little farther, and it said, and it came to pass in verse 21, that whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. This is not, that is context, not application. How do you apply that scripture? And I'll show you. You say, you men of Israel, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, a man approved of God, not a God, but a man approved of God among you by miracles, wonders, and signs, which God did by him in the midst of you, as ye yourselves also know. He said, now when they heard this verse 37, I'm jumping. I go back up to 36. It said, therefore let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God has made that Jesus, his son, that man whom he created through Mary womb when he overshadowed her in Luke 1 and said, let there be light, just like his power and authority overshadowed the earth once upon a time, or up a while back in the beginning of time. And I don't like to say once upon a time. This is reality. This has really happened. And he overshadowed the earth, and he said, and it was without form, and it was void. Nothing was up on it. And he said, let there be light. And then those actions came into being. That is the same thing when he overshadowed Mary in Luke 1. And he said, the power, his power and authority, his creative power overshadowed, and he said, let there be light. Then that man came into existence. That's why he is called his son. He created him. Okay? He said, let all the house know surely, verse 36, that God has met that same Jesus whom he has created, his son, whom you have crucified, both Lord and Christ, met supreme in authority in our anointing. He said, now when they heard this, the Holy Ghost, now, when they heard this, they were pricked in their hearts, in their minds, and said unto Peter and to the rest of the apostles. In other words, they were convicted. Men and brethren, what shall we do? Then Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, what, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins. Okay, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. There is your water and spirit. Is repentance, baptism in the name of Jesus Christ. As it says in Revelation 1 and 5, he washed us in his own blood. So there is the blood applied when you're baptized in Jesus in the name of Jesus Christ, because it's for the remission of sin. The blood is applied. Then there is the promise of the Holy Ghost, water and spirit. That is the birth of his kingdom. You become a part of his kingdom when these things have happened to you, when you have followed these instructions. And the promises, he says, and for the promises unto you and to your children and to all that are far off, even as many as our Lord, our God, shall call. If you have been called by God, you will follow this. If you're not called by God, then what I'm talking to you, talking about right now, is foreign to you. Okay, and he talks about the war in heaven in Revelation, showing you the birth of the kingdom of God. It came physically, spiritually first, and now we're waiting a physical arrival. Revelations 12 and 7. It said, and there was war in heaven. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon, and the dragon and his angels fought, and the dragon fought and his angels. They fought. They had a war in heaven. Prevailed not, neither was there a place found any more in heaven. And that great dragon was cast out, that old serpent called the devil and Satan, which deceiveth, ETH, he's in the ongoing process, the world. This great delusion the world is under right now, believing there is no consequences for their actions and their way they live. Okay, the whole world. And he cast out, he was cast out into the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. Wake up, world, they down here with us. Now notice what happened. And I heard a loud voice, the day of Pentecost had come in heaven, say, now has come salvation. When did salvation come to the human family? That same salvation that happened on the day of Pentecost was the same salvation in Acts 10 given to the Romans. That was the day of salvation for the whole human family. Okay, so now has come salvation, strength. In the kingdom of our God, the birth of the Holy Ghost, the Holy Ghost should be so the kingdom of God should be within you. That's when it all started. There's where the kingdom of God came. That was the first part. That's the spiritual part. Now we're waiting. You know, in the power of this Christ, Christ recreating us. For the accuser of our brother is cast down, and this is Revelations 12 and 10. And the accuser of them before our God accused them day and night. And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb, by that baptism in Jesus' name, the blood of the Lamb, and by the words of their testimony, and loved not their lives unto death. Therefore rejoice ye heavens, and ye that dwell in them. Woe to the inhabitants of the earth and to the sea, for the devil has come down having great wrath, because he knows, but he has but a short time. So what is he doing in this wrapping up of time? He is going about creating hardship for man. At the same time, he is establishing through the guides of man, through him communicating to their minds, and they're thinking they're doing a great thing. He's bringing about a new world order. See, but we, all of us who are of the kingdom of God, we know better. And there's some things that the Bible told us, you know, even as a believer. You don't have to live in ignorance. You don't have to be dumbed down as America dies. This nation is dying. They legalize stuff that God has already called an abomination, homosexuality. San Diego's having a war about a neutral gender language. What is a neutral gender language that where it doesn't have nothing to do with man or woman? We have conversation. We can't mention that we're man or woman. They're trying to pass a law to silence the voice of soundness and reason. Now look at a person don't have to be in ignorance. You say you saved, you took part of this, have you been baptized in Jesus' name? That's the first thing I ask you. And then the next thing that most preachers are not telling people is found in Acts 19. And it said, it came to pass while Apollos was at Corinth, Paul having passed through the upper coast, came to Ephesus and finding certain disciples. He said unto them, have you received the Holy Ghost since you believe? And they said unto him, we have not so much as heard whether there be any Holy Ghost. I'm going to stop here because I want you to pay attention. He asked them, have they received the Holy Ghost? So you sitting in the church, preacher telling you, you ain't got no money in your pocket, you ain't putting no money in my pocket. In other words, Creflo Dollars, that's what I heard him say. And people are falling for this nonsense. They're literally going for it. We're going to Romans 8, and I'm coming right back to that. Romans 8. And it says, it goes on and says, so verse 8 and 8 says, so then they that are in the flesh cannot please God. If you don't have confidence in this word of God, you cannot please him. For you are not in the flesh, but in the spirit, if so be that the spirit of God dwelleth in you. That kingdom of God, if you don't have the spirit of God, you're not part of his coming kingdom. Now, if any man have not the spirit of Christ, he is none of his. So he asking them, do they have the spirit of Christ? Do they have the Holy Ghost? That's why I said he made them Lord and Christ, our Holy Ghost. Do you have the spirit of Christ? And they said unto him, we have not so much as heard whether there be any Holy Ghost. The preacher ain't telling you the requirements. Okay? And he going on to say, and he said unto them, unto what then were you baptized? Baptism is essential and very important. They said unto John baptism. Then said Paul unto John, verily baptized with the baptism of repentance, saying unto the people that they should believe on him which should come after him, that is, on Christ Jesus. And when they heard this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. They were baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. This is what they did. Okay. That was the kingdom of God. That's how you become a part of the kingdom of God. If you don't have the Spirit and you have been baptized in his name, then that means you have to submit yourself to the scripture, because he said he give those his spirit, those that obey the scriptures. You can talk all the scriptures you want, but until you submit, fully surrender yourself to them scriptures and continue and begin to obey them, you will not receive the Holy Ghost. And then that means you got part of you partially born. You're still waiting on that other part. You need that other part to be a full part of the kingdom of God. Now we're waiting his physical arrival. And so this is what happened in the church. The devil has come in and he's made all this stuff, brought all these fake people in there and make you think that you can live any way you want. Make you think holiness is not a requirement of God. Okay? And America is fastly dying. Look around you, people. Russia's becoming the greatest wheat import now. They import more wheat than America, taking up America's slack. These oil prices is bringing this reserve currency to an end. But when this reserve currency is gone, then comes the Antichrist, according to Revelation 14, because America's Babylon the great melting pot, explained in Revelation 17. And it tells you in chapter 14, it goes on to tell you, it says in verse 8, and there followed another angel saying, Babylon is fallen, America, that great city, because she has made all nations drunk, delusional of the wine of the wrath of her fornication, her worldly lust. And it says another angel followed, saying with a loud voice, if any man worship the beast in the image, and receive his mark in his forehead or in his hand, the same shall drink of the wine of the wrath, which is poured out without mixture, into the cup of the indignation, and he shall be tormented with fire and brimstone in the presence of the holy angels, in the presence of the Lamb, in the presence of Jesus. In other words, this is the new economic system coming after this collapse. You read down in verse 15, 13, the Revelation says, and he had power to give life unto the image of the beast, that the image of the beast should both speak. He caused that as many as would not worship the image of the beast should be killed. And he caused both small and great, rich and poor, free and bond, to receive the mark in their forehead, and that no man might buy nor sell, save he that had the mark or the name of the beast or the number of his name. In other words, they go on talking about that 666, that new economic system that is coming and is on its way. You know, people, I thank you guys for coming out and wake up. That's what I would tell you. Wake up. Open your eyes, because it's not too much longer and all this is going to be upon us. America is already in this decay state. New world order is coming. This economic reserve currency is going. And you guys, it's still time. It's still, if you're hearing this show, it's still time to find somebody baptized in Jesus' name and get filled with the Holy Ghost by submitting yourself to the scriptures. Go out and get my books, people. The Revival of the Roman Empire, The Devil Workshop, History of the Church, The Rise of the Cult, Caliphate, Rise of the Islamic Nation, and the Temple Mount, which talks about where Antichrist is going to rule from. You can find it at Amazon, Barnes & Noble, and Books A Million. And once again, this is Revolutionary Gospel News. This is Arthur Joseph Smith. And thank you guys for coming out tonight. Hope you guys have a great night, and you guys have a great one, and I'll have some more shows on here soon. You guys have a great one. Bye.